You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, Mr. Mac?
Let's go. This was, you know, just a thought. What's his name?
Craig Mac.
Craig Mac. It's not a bad show name.
Now I get it. Craig Mac.
The Craig Mac Show.
Yeah, but it says in my contract it's the Carton Show.
It crossed my mind. I was like, Craig Mac, new flavor in your ears.
Craig Mac's not bad. You know, the reason we came up, I'll tell you right now, The open that we use, which is Chris Stapleton, as I used to be, was actually not even my idea.
No.
But a dear friend of mine and a guy who loves this radio station, Eric Olson. Eric Olson's a bigwig over at Crush Music. And he's like, I got the perfect song for you and Big Mac. I told him that you're going to be the guy.
Right.
And he said, so I listened to it, and it was, like, right when it came out, I was like, that's the song you write. And then a week ago, he said, I have a backup for you. Okay. And it was that.
Get out of here.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. No, I thought about
Craig
Mack.
So he's responsible for Chris Stapleton being the open. Mm-hmm. He's also responsible for you going to Jones Beach to see Train this year and PNC Bank to see Riley Green this year. And tickets we'll be giving away, I think, later today. Chris Stapleton at Jones Beach also.
Yeah.
Next week.
Are we going to talk to your guy?
To Eric Olson?
No.
Whatever you want.
No.
Chris Stapleton?
No, the lead singer of Train.
Yeah, Pat Monahan.
Pat Monahan.
Yes, because it's the 25th anniversary of Drops of Jupiter.
Yeah.
So Eric told me they're coming in studio sometime in January.
Yeah, because we...
next week or two.
Yeah, you had him on a handful of years ago. He's a good dude.
Yeah, so he'll be coming on, I think maybe next week or the week after.
Great.
But I can't believe it's been 25 years since Drops of Jupiter came out.
I know.
Right? Things like that make you feel old.
Every once in a while, something like that happens.
Although, I did an interview in Philadelphia today. And someone was asking, you know, what do I remember about when I first got to Philly in 1993 to work at WIP? And sadly, the first thing that came to my mind about moving to Philadelphia in 1993 was I relate songs to years.
Sure.
All right?
Yeah.
And the song of the year in 1993 was a song that I happen to love. I'm embarrassed by that today, but I'm not going to lie to you about it. It was... Mbop by Hanson.
I love Mbop. And I love that entire album of Hanson. Middle of Nowhere. It's not bad.
Mbop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember I was moving my stuff in.
That was the 1993.
1993. Mbop was the song of the summer in 1993 when I got to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's right. Crazy. That's right. There's also a line there about not having any hair, which sticks out to me as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have hair back in 93?
In 93. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
When did good it start hair. Falling?
94?
And how quick did you make the transition? You hold on to it for as long as possible, to the buzz?
When you do, and you're a person in my position, which is a guy who's going bald.
Yes.
All right?
Right.
What I did was, you hang out as long as you can, and then you get a haircut, and you're like, uh-oh, I might be in trouble here. Right? It's not until you get the haircut that you know that you do not have a healthy head of hair. So then you do what's called the Caesar. The Caesar is just a really short haircut, and it kind of makes you look less bald or less balding.
Okay.
So I did the Caesar for about a year. Then I turned 30, because it started about 28, 29, and I dyed my hair blonde, thinking that would distract people from the balding that was happening. It did the exact opposite. I got married as a blonde guy.
Did you?
I did. It's an awful picture.
Oh.
Yes, at my wedding, I have kind of wispy blonde hair.
I'm sure she never lets you forget it either.
Thought I was the sexiest thing on the planet. Well, she's blind also. Yeah, so I was a little desperate. Mm-hmm. I figured blind or deaf, what's best for me?
Right.
And I married a blonde girl. And she thought I was the greatest thing ever.
You don't have to worry about buying her watches.
That's exactly right. Here's Don in Oceanside. Don, what's going on, buddy?
Craigie, you know, I tried to give you guys the Craig Mac. I know that I'm not naive enough to be the only person to put that together, but now I got to turn my back on you.
What did I do?
Well, I literally just told your unknown producer, hey, yeah, man, this would be a good idea legally. I don't know if you can play it or not. You guys come back from the segment, playing the song, and then you talk about some guy that nobody knows.
So I didn't realize. Well, so you have to give me a break. I didn't realize that when you talked to our unnamed producer that you told him you should play Flavor in Your Ear, and he did it because of your suggestion. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Now that I know, let me apologize to you. I'm so sorry, but he has had a tough week already.
Yeah, fire him.
I'm thinking about it.
I love you guys,
buddy. Talk to you guys. Be good. Have a great weekend, man. Here is John in Norwalk, Connecticut on the fan. Johnny, what's good with you, kid?
Hey, Craig Mack. You made my point about the four missed
interceptions. Yeah.
It all missed through. So, you know, I didn't come away. I mean, he's a great, great young quarterback. But, no, the Beck kid really showed me something. I mean, they showed the injury that he had last year and the surgery with the graphic. And I'm like, oh, my God. And this guy's in there. You know, he's, you know, iron sharpens iron.
Right.
And then for them to get into the playoffs, kind of with the controversy being the last team in, and then just, you know, setting things straight. And here they are, going in their home stadium. I mean, I don't think that can be underestimated.
Yeah, I think it's a little overstated, actually. It's going to be 90% Miami fans, obviously, whether it's Oregon or Indiana. Mm-hmm. It's going to be all Miami, obviously, because the game's in South Florida. The get-in price is absurd.
Really? Hot ticket.
If you want to take a guess, no joke, right now, secondary market, what it costs for a standing room only ticket. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to get it, but mm-hmm. it's what they're asking for right now. And it's because Miami won.
Right.
So just to give you a little comparison so you can at least take an educated guess. Before the game last night, if you wanted to buy a ticket to the national championship game a week from Monday, it was about $3,000.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now Miami won. So they're in. What do you think the standing room only price that I saw on StubHub this morning was?
I'll say it jumped up less than half to five.
10.
Wow.
To stand. You ain't got a seat. That gets you in the building, standing room only, $10,000, and there's obviously more expensive ones.
And how
also.
Many? How many people in the building? What's the?
I assume it's 60
the, yeah, it's
some
be
thousand,
at least, right? 60, 70,
yeah,
thousand?
60 some a thousand.
Wow,
or 70,000, whatever it might be. Jeez. That's to get in.
That's incredible,
right? Which is why I told both my children who went to Miami, I know, because they're both they're hounding me to death. It's
sure.
like, Daddy, come on, Daddy, and then my daughter said, what's the point of having a dad in sports if you can't get your kid a ticket to a national championship game?
Wow.
Yeah.
She went right for the for the heart.
Right for the jugular. Oh. And I said
what's
to her, what's the point of having a boyfriend?
Yeah. Hopefully,
it
she,
ain't
didn't
my job
hopefully
anymore.
She didn't respond.
No, she hasn't responded just yet. She still thinks her daddy is going to somehow find two tickets, you know, and she doesn't care what they cost.
No.
Like, it's like, oh, Dad, did you get it for free, Dad? No. Did you spend a lot of money? She doesn't care.
No.
It's not even on her radar.
I'm sure she'll give you a nice thank you.
It's just that I'm a big disappointment is all it is. Because, again, what's the benefit to me
right.
of my dad being in sports? Yeah. You told me
this
you're really
popular.
This
is why you did this, so you could send me. Isn't this why you got into this business,
What's
Daddy?
The point of being number one in New York if you can't get your daughter tickets to a game in Miami? That's what I mean. That's what I'm getting right now.
Yeah, I think
now,
she's
my son's
point.
Playing it cool. My son hasn't said anything.
Mm-hmm.
He did. I just get looks and hints. And he's like, this morning he goes, you know what's up. And I go, excuse me? That's all he said.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm not going to say, but you know what's up.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, I know what's up. Yeah.
Yeah, they probably
your rent,
this.
Which I'm paying. Yeah, that's what's up. That's right. Here's Danny in Roselle Park on the fan. Danny, how are you?
Good, sir. Hey.
Yeah.
Talking about quarterbacks for the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a lifelong Jet, as you all are.
Yep.
You know, I've been disappointed year after year. I'm not a financial advisor or nothing. I'm just a plumber. But, you know, I know where my money's spent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Sauce Gardner. I called prior to that trade. You gave him $30 million 2 days later. I told you I would have gave $10 million each cheerleader for three of them over that bump. Now you're bringing in Mendoza, where I think Trinidad last night showed me something. 277 yards. That's like four games for our Jet quarterbacks.
Yeah, right? But hold on. You're making the classic mistake. you have a recency bias.
Of course.
So you saw a kid play last night, and to his credit, I thought we all agree, he played his ass off and kept fighting back and making big throws,
making plays.
Obviously, he ran one in as well. So nothing negative about that kid at all. And now that we find out the NCAA has said no to an extra year of eligibility, he's obviously coming out in the draft. He has played well enough to be viewed as a first-round draft pick. But he didn't win the Heisman Trophy. The other kid has had a more consistent performance this entire year, and he is, by every metric, viewed as the best quarterback in this class. Doesn't mean he's going to be the best NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
It's obviously a risk, but don't use last night's game as the new metric for that's who the Jets or the Giants, if they were looking for a quarterback, that's who a team who needs a quarterback should take, because here's what's going to happen. Indiana's going to play Oregon tonight. And assuming that Mendoza does what he's done all year long, and I know the rip on Mendoza, the majority of his great plays and touchdowns are against lesser opponents.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys.
I mean, and if
you can't pick your opponents. Like, should I tell you that the New England Patriots have no chance to win their playoff game because they only beat one team this year with an over 500 record? Matter of fact, I can. Yes, matter of fact, I'm going to.
That's a fair point. But, I mean, again, would he have called after the Big Ten championship where he gets hurt early in the game, comes back, beats Ohio State to win the Big Ten championship? Did he throw for 10 touchdowns? No, but that was a gritty performance, making big throws at the end of the game down the field to beat the defending champ. Like, let's just, like, Mendoza has done plenty to make you excited about him as a quarterback.
Yeah, he's the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, he's the first pick in the
draft. And here's what's going to happen.
I'd be shocked if the Raiders don't.
Whether it's tonight's game or next week's championship game, which is obviously going to feature two of the top quarterbacks by default now because of Miami winning last night.
It's Beck Mendoza or Beck.
Yeah, Moore. And I don't think Beck's the first rounder, but he's going to be drafted, right? The guy's, like, getting Social Security. Like, at some point, you got to play pro ball. By the way, did you see who he's dating?
No.
Oh.
Amazingly enough, Craig, like, these aren't the things I focus on. I got to start focusing on these type of things.
We got much different algorithms.
We do.
I'll tell you that. you have no idea?
I might, but it's not something that's stuck in my brain. No.
Okay, so when Carson Beck first agreed to go to Miami, the first thing he did once he agreed to play at Miami, he started dating one of the Cavender twins. You know, the good-looking gals who play basketball for Miami when they had the little run inside the Sweet 16 for the women's tournament. Do you remember that?
No.
They're mildly attractive women.
Mildly attractive.
They've since gone to the WWE, I think, the Cavender Twins. So maybe you heard of them through that.
Do I not know the Cavender Twins?
Yeah.
The boys' interest has waned a little bit over the last few weeks. But
they're WWE. I don't know how frequent they're in it. But the Cavender Twins went to wrestling, I think it was the WWE, maybe an AEW, but whatever.
Yeah.
It was one of those two leagues. They stopped playing basketball, and then they did what a lot of those gals do. They got boob jobs. Okay, so now they're even more attractive, because I guess they got bigger boobs, okay?
Right.
But that's not who he's currently dating. He cheated on one of them.
Oh.
All right? And now he's dating.
The one he was dating, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, Carson Beck is dating a gal who goes by the stage name of Abella Danger. You know who she is? Instagram whore.
Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I think she's like a professional adult film star. Same thing, right? Is that the same thing, essentially? Instagram hoe?
No.
No, that's not the same thing?
No.
Anyhow, so Abella Danger is now apparently banging Carson Beck.
Okay.
The Hurricane starting quarterback.
I think that's she's a full porn.
She's a porn star.
Yes,
it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And in my world, the same thing. Okay. In any event, she also apparently made a lot of money as a hoe. Okay, and now enrolled at Miami under her real name, and she's with Carson Beck.
Has she given up the?
Yes, she gives it up every night. Yeah.
I guess I walked into that one.
Yeah.
A lot of guys have.
Yeah.
This is just perfect. I could set you up all day long. Is she still doing the porn, Greg? I want to know if she's still doing the porn.
I don't know.
Can I get it out?
I think she might.
I'm saying she retired. That's what I'm saying. Has she stopped?
I don't know. Ask the unnamed producer. I have no idea.
Annabelle Danger still doing porn?
Yeah. Abella Danger.
Abella, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think she's got an OnlyFans now, if anything.
Yeah, so she's still a hoe.
So she's making more money now than ever.
I guess. I don't know how that works.
I don't know how it works
either. What's your OnlyFans account? Can I log in and check it out?
I wish I had one.
Did you? Do you?
If I make the money they make, I would do it.
There's got to be a fetish out there that people would like to see your toes or your feet or something.
And I do have nice feet and hands.
I'm sure that you do.
I do.
Here's Eric in Rivervale, New Jersey. Eric, how are you?
Craigie, welcome back. That is a tough act to follow. It's C-Mac. What's happening, brother?
What's going on?
Good to hear
on?
You during the day.
Thank you. Good to be on.
I mean, I can't even touch that, so I'm not going to try because I'll walk into something just like you did, C-Mac. So we'll stay away from that. Yeah. As far as, real quick, on the more serious side, though, Craigie, love what you do for recovery, my friend. Hello, my name is Craig. It's amazing what you've done for so many as someone in recovery. I can't thank you enough for it. It's awesome stuff, man. So keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate it.
The Jets, I know you have some inside folks there at the Jets. I want to know who runs the PR department. Is it Brick or one of, like, Woody's kids? Because they're the most atrocious PR department in the history of PR departments. Like, what they're putting out today is ridiculous. Every time AG gets up there, it doesn't seem like he's prepared, right? I mean, Samini's on him all the time, but nobody prepares him for the question. It just seems like, what?
Well, like, let me
walk
you through
that department.
So there's a social media department, which is not the PR department. Now, I assume on most franchises, they do work hand in hand so that the social media team doesn't put something out that embarrasses the team or that the PR staff then has to react to and kind of clean up. My thinking is that they're so desperate, and I get it. I get it. They're so desperate for something positive, to put something out there to try to appease Jet fans who rightfully so are upset for another year. And the reality is that they don't have anything. So you don't have anything, but you have an entire staff dedicated to social media. Those people have to do something. They're paid employees,
that's
right?
100% it.
So I think they're trying to find, okay, it's the off season. We still got 3 months to go before the draft, obviously. And, the playoffs are going on and we're kind of being left out. No one's talking about us. We didn't fire our head coach, so we're not in that new cycle of, are the Jets going to get Harbaugh? Mm-hmm. Are the Jets going to get Stefanski?
Right.
We're not involved. So it's almost like we're like Tom Hanks on the island.
Yeah.
Right? We're the forgotten guy. We're the forgotten team. So your job is to make sure people don't forget. So they probably have a think tank meeting every Monday morning, and they say to the staff, what do we have that's positive and real? Don't make anything up. But what do we have that's real? And there's some statistician in the corner who looks like Evan who says, I've got something. Mm-hmm. We're the first and only team since 2023 to have all five offensive linemen start every game.
Yeah.
Can you use that?
Mm-hmm.
And then some other, like, recent graduate from Miami is like, oh, that's a great idea. I can run with that. I've got an image all set.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, a tweet gets developed. It's not offensive. So a PR staff says, all right, we haven't tweeted out in 3 days. We've got nothing real positive to say anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put it out.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, and I totally get it.
Well, yeah.
But there's a tone deafness to it.
Absolutely.
Where I think I speak for most Jet fans on this. I think you can relate to this through the Giants as well. Where there are times where it's okay to be a ghost. It's okay not to put something out every week. We don't want it. Like, nobody saw that tweet today and said, gosh darn it, honey, I'm taking my Christmas money and I'm buying Jet season tickets. Did you know that the Jets offensive line started every game?
Yeah. No, they don't get it.
So they just don't get it.
They think they think they're selling, well, hey, the offensive line's in good place, right? Hey, guys, next year, let's be honest.
Right.
The offensive line, they were able to stay together. They played the full, you're expecting four of the five at least to come back next year. It's a good selling point on the team. They don't recognize. There's nobody in that room. They have the nerd in the corner. They have the PR person who probably doesn't understand football.
And it comes from a good place.
And yeah, they're thinking, we have to put out something that's in a positive nature. You can sell it on the offensive line is in a good spot. We're going to draft a young quarterback and he'll have the line to protect him and all that. But they don't recognize that the season was a disaster.
Right.
You're a joke putting out these things.
I think I would disagree with the first part of that.
Right. They recognize
it's a joke to put it out.
It's a joke to put it out.
I think they're well aware of how bad this season was.
Right,
I did.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're well aware.
I don't think they're aware the fan base will mock that tweet. I don't think they put
Yeah. That's where they're tone deaf. They don't understand that when you put something like that out. And look, if you want to celebrate an individual player's success, the dude returned a bunch of kicks.
Yeah.
He had a good year.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a time and a place for it. And when the Giants are being talked about every day that they're about to get the best coach available this this offseason, right? And when there's other things that carry our attention, what are the Yankees doing? What are the Mets doing?
Yeah.
The Knicks, coming off the losses, finally getting all that stuff, right?
Two other teams in their division are about to play playoff games. The other team was rumored to go get Harbaugh.
Yeah, that's the time to disappear for a while. It's okay.
Sit one out.
Like, no one's going to call you up and go, damn it, how come the Jets haven't put a tweet out in the last week and a half? Less is more right now.
Absolutely.
So if I was advising the Jets, and I've offered that in the past, they've never taken me up on it. Okay, fine. If I was advising the Jets, I would say just stop for a second. Just stop. Because what you just said is even more important. The Miami Dolphins are about to get a new head coach, and he's going to be a good one, whoever it might be.
Because it's a huge...
That's a problem for us.
Yeah.
The New England Patriots are in the playoffs this weekend.
Not that.
That's a problem for us.
Been a dominant team this year.
The Buffalo Bills are in Jacksonville this weekend. That is a problem for us. So, just stop talking.
Yep.
Just like you tell your wife.
I would never.
Just take a break. Take a break. Let's come back a little bit later on to this topic.
No.
And the Jets need somebody to tell them that. And again, to be fair to the Jets, the staff there that works there, who I'm sure are all good people that bust their ass to do their jobs, this could also be an edict from the owner. There's a possibility.
The owner puts out tweets about what uniform they're wearing. The owner goes into the locker room and screams how the quarterback sucks. The owner goes to the owner meetings and openly mocks the starting quarterback of the team and says he can't complete a complete pass.
You had me right about that.
I understand that.
That's the first thing I've agreed with Woody in a long time.
If you said to me, if this could be an edict from on high, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't understand any of this.
I agree with you on that. I think the people that work there are good people.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
No, no. I think
he's incompetent.
I think the employees of the Jets are all really good people. Hardworking people that are as desperate as we are to have a good tweet to put out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the owner's a little crazy.
Right.
That's all. By the way, real quick, I know we got to take a break. I was just thinking about the Carson Beck dating the porn star.
Yeah. Clearly the most important part of the
segment. Could you date a porn star? And I'm not.
Well, no. I'm married with two children.
Yeah?
Yeah. So.
No, like on the side.
Oh, on the side. Well, and that's a different story. No, like, I mean,
before you were married, obviously.
Obviously, no.
Like I'm a 6 month relationship.
I don't know if I could. I don't think I could do it with
honey. How's work today?
With a current, yeah. I think a former, I would be willing to put it behind us, but not a current.
Could you date or marry a girl that you used to watch do it? Would that be tough? Have a better one. What if your friends used to watch?
Well, you'd have to assume.
You have to assume,
right?
You
have to assume.
I don't think I could.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
I don't think I could.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, because there's a few of them I've taken a look at, and I've said to myself, like, if I was single 40 years ago,
right?
Like, and I knew what she did for a living.
Right.
And you're like, hey, I'm going to the radio station to talk sports. What are you going to do? And I can't answer that on the radio?
Right.
I don't think I'd be okay with that.
Let me ask you a question here. Like, if you are...
I think that's all ego, though.
And does that have to be, like, first date conversation?
Like, she has to tell you on the first date?
Can she surprise that with you a month in?
I'd like
By the way, I'm a porn star.
I'd like her to tell me after we've made love.
Right.
I'd like to know after the fact. I would not, because if you find out before, you got no shot.
It's not like first date, so what do you do, what do you do? She could say, well, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a
businesswoman.
I'm a businesswoman.
Yeah,
I'm a freelance employee.
I think if I'm going to find out, I'd rather know after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have my toes in.
Because there's too
waters.
Much pressure.
Yeah.
If you know beforehand because of all the experience she's had.
Right.
You're like, ugh, I know I don't stand up. Ugh. She's not even into it.
Right.
Ugh. She's probably thinking
she's
about
probably
the,
faking it. She's a pro
that
at it.
Scene from Act 4 earlier today. Well, you want to say
something?
I don't
know. Do you think they like it that much?
Do you?
I don't know.
You don't?
I was saying, don't you
like it a lot?
I would think they probably prefer their own personal sex life than they do the on the camera.
That's what you've come up with?
I would think.
You think so? Yeah.
I think so. It's more intimate. It's more honest.
Can you imagine if
you don't have to stop to take pictures and all this, like the work stuff they do in front of, you know,
30 guys.
Like, in front of five different guys on a fruit plate, you know.
Yeah. Could you imagine if you dated a porn star and you didn't sleep with her? And she's like, I only do that at work.
No, I have a rule. Yeah, six dates.
I'm a Catholic girl. I want to wait until I get married. Like, what? All right, 888-808-1019. We'll get back to the sports, I promise you. I know a lot of people on Twitter saying right now, see, I told you. Yep. I told you he's not going to talk sports at all on that show.
Couldn't make it a week without a porn star segment.
That's right. That, by the way, couldn't. I tried, but Carson Beck ruined it. As soon as that guy ran in for the game-winning touchdown, I knew exactly what I was talking about today. We'll get into the Giants and the fact that they've not yet lost out on John Harbaugh and how happy that makes you sensitive Giant fans. And we're going to have a little conversation, you and I,
okay,
about Abdul Carter. Because I am taking a beating online.
I told you.
About Abdul Carter. And I want to break it down with you coming up after this. You got something to read or no?
Yeah, what the hell. I might as well do this now. This Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ. Precision cooking, effortless result. ChefIQ.com.
Well, I want to get one of them Chef IQ ovens.
The personal ovens?
The thermometers.
Yeah.
That's how my mom used to take my temperature back in the day. With a Chef IQ thermometer.
She likes you medium rare?
I'm not even lying about it.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I remember that thermometer.
Lay down, son. We got to see how hot you are. Is that the Chef IQ thermometer, mommy? Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It's the best.
It's the best.
It's accurate temperatures.
It's accurate temperature. You know what's not accurate? What Cody Bellinger thinks he's going to get in the free agent market. That's what's not accurate. $37 million a year over 7 years. Wake up, Cody.
Excuse me?
This Fan Focus was sponsored by...
37?
Yeah.
For seven?
Yeah. I mean, that's what the rumors are that he's asking for. Don't laugh. Don't you laugh. You know why? You know why you shouldn't laugh? I don't know if you're going to remember this, but I'm going to take you back to our previous Carton Roberts when I was part of the Carton Roberts show, and you and I both, in the pre-show meeting, when we found out that Daniel Jones wanted $40 million a year.
Oh, we laughed.
We both laughed.
Yeah, we did.
You and I laughed. Oh, did we laugh.
Yeah.
And he got $40 million a year.
And they lost Saquon because of it.
Yes.
Damn it.
So please, don't laugh. Because I don't want to pay him $37 million a year. He's not a $37 million player. And that Fan Focus was sponsored by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
All right, Big Mac, if you're tired of dealing with neck pain, backaches, even sciatica, stop messing around. Go see my guys at Samuel Institute for Pain Management. Dr. Shah, Dr. Koh, and Dr. C. DePara, they got offices in Colonia, Englewood, and Livingston, New Jersey. And here's the best part. They focus on non-opioid, minimally invasive, non-surgical treatments. Real solutions that can actually get you back to feeling like yourself again. Don't just take my word for it. Thousands of five-star reviews trust Samwell. So turn to Samwell Pain for relief. Go to SamwellPain.com. SamwellPain.com.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, 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 oh yeah. Somehow, some way, we have made it to Friday.
We have.
It's a Carton show. We got Big Mac. We got Craig Carton. Good afternoon to you, sir. How are
good
you
doing? Good afternoon.
Today?
I'm doing great, Craig.
Are you?
We're back.
We're back.
We're back. Us Giant fans are back.
No, you can't have it that way.
We're back.
And I'm going to get to that in just one second. Once again, I'm right. Everyone else is wrong.
Uh-huh.
On this radio station, I'm 4 days back, and already I'm just knocking them down with right things.
Listen, we don't know yet, but one of the dominoes we expected, if we were going to go through that, where he's going to end up in Miami, it's a fait accompli. You know, they're the seventh team. Suddenly they fire their coach. Yeah. There would have been a hire with Miami. That would have been that next domino to fall, and that domino did not fall.
Yeah, so that's my point. For all your pathetic worrying that the Miami Dolphins are going to come in and steal your head coach. I sat here yesterday all day. Aaron Beck and I listened to the show, and I watched the show on SNY, and I said, man, I'm handsome. Number two, man, could I have been more right? You guys sat here all day yesterday. Every show in the station, every caller to the station. Oh, no. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, Miami wants handsome. Well, how about this? What have I told you, little Didi, about that? And that's not how I want to start the show today, but it's fine. You brought it up. I'm your Huckleberry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's
no,
all
please.
Good. No, it's all good. I'm going to be very busy today. I'm actually going to be leaving here in about 5 minutes to go down to the Canyon of Heroes for a parade, which I'll get to in just 1 second. But before I leave and go to the Canyon of Heroes for my my parade today, which I'll get to, I promise, in just 1 second, there's a little part of the Dolphin Harbor story that nobody considered. At all on this radio station, whether that be host or caller, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this, and I'm going to tell you something that's a fact that has not been reported anywhere else, okay? You guys had this, and I understand why, because you just didn't know. You guys had this theory that because Jim Harbaugh coached at Michigan, was supported, of course, by Stephen Ross there, and while he was at Michigan, Stephen Ross actually toured with the idea 1 year of bringing him from Michigan down to Miami, and obviously he stayed in Michigan. That never happened, right? You guys had this idea that Stephen Ross was very close with the Harbaugh boys, both Jim and John, and I understand why you thought that way, because you just didn't know any better.
I knew what I was
and
reading.
And I heard my main man Boomer today talking about having dinner with Stephen Ross and this and that and the other thing. I have as well. All right? I have as well.
Okay.
Met him many, many times.
What'd you have?
What if it was a party, there was like a set course and he couldn't pick what it was.
Sure.
It was fine. It was my cousin's engagement party. All right. Here's the deal. All right? What would you say if I told you that the reason the Dolphins were never a threat to steal Johnny Harbaugh from the New York Giants is that Stephen Ross and Jim Harbaugh hate each other? They are not close.
They hate each other.
That would be news to me. They do not have a good relationship. They do not have an active relationship.
Really?
Things went south between Jim Harbaugh and Stephen Ross over a lot of the things that took place at Michigan while Jim Harbaugh was there. All right? So the notion that all you idiots have gone forward with about how the Ross family is really close to the Harbaugh family and Jim has vouched for his brother and Stephen Ross had great success at Michigan. They won a national championship with Jim, so he's going to go to John. Jim Harbaugh and Stephen Ross do not speak to each other. They are not good friends. They do not vacation together. They do not go to each other's homes and celebrate the holidays. So the notion that Stephen Ross was in bed somehow with the Harbaugh family is just factually incorrect. And there's only one guy out there, one reporter, that I will give credit to that has been on this story accurately from Jump Street. And that's the guy Darlington. What's his name? Jim Darling, Jeff Darlington, John Darlington, yep. Bob Darlington, something Darlington,
okay.
I guess, covers the Dolphins for ESPN or SNY or ES or Fox. I don't know who the hell he works for. But that guy.
Jeff Darlington.
There you go. Good job, Jeff. Jeff Darlington has been on this from Jump Street. Now, let me tell you why I got to leave in a couple minutes. And I hate to do that to you. It's our first week.
Yeah.
I was planning on working an entire week, which I don't want to do a lot of. But I'm but I got to go. I got to go in a couple minutes.
You just made my day, and now you got to leave?
I got it. The Giants are getting Harbaugh. Don't worry about it, all right?
Okay.
I got to go.
Where you got to go?
Parade. Parade starts at 2:30 today, and I'm a little surprised that you're unaware of the parade. We've not had a ticker tape parade down the Canyon of Heroes in quite some time, right?
Right.
We're having one today at 2:30, and I'm going to be in one of the convertibles. I'm very proud to say that. I've been blessed with a lot of gifts in my life, but the fact that I got a phone call today, this morning, saying the parade is on, and we'd like you to ride in one of the convertibles as a representative fan of our great success.
What am I missing?
Did you not know that the New York Jets offensive line played every game this year? Did you not know that?
All five of them.
Did you not know that?
I had heard that.
So the Jets put out a tweet today celebrating the fact for the first time and only time since 2023, which to the Jets must seem like a long time ago, all right? The Jets put out a tweet today yelling to the moon that they've done something that has not been done once since way back in 2023. All five offensive linemen started every single game. And for those of you that are not Jet fans, that wonder why Jet fans like me and Evan Roberts and others that are here at the radio station are so frustrated by the New York Jets, is that every time we think they've turned a corner, every time we think maybe they're going to start understanding like who they are and what they are, they disappoint you. The fact that my beloved New York Jets are so tone deaf in another awful year to put out a tweet today celebrating the fact that they're the only team in the last, 18 months to have five offensive linemen start every single game is representative of every single thing wrong with my franchise. But I decided I've had very little things to celebrate as a sports fan in New York. I'm going to the parade. That's what I'm doing. Woo!
They're going to put you on a convertible to celebrate?
Yeah, damn right. Along
with the best kickoff duo, the kick return duo in the NFL?
That's the other tweet they put out. Despite the fact that the Jets' offense was ranked 32nd, despite the fact that the Jets' defense was ranked 31st, the Jets had a couple kick returns for touchdowns. And they put that tweet out today.
Yeah.
Like, the social media director for the New York Jets, it's got to be the toughest job in sports. Mm-hmm. So I'm not suggesting that young guy or gal should be fired.
Right.
But someone's got to go there and say, stop. Please stop. In a 3-win season, which we're not going to get a better head coach, could you please not put out a tweet celebrating something that no Jet fan wants to hear about? Yuck.
That is, I mean, listen, it goes with Aaron Glenn, though. Let's be honest. This is the same. He's been peddling this stuff for forever. He didn't. They also.
Maybe he's the guy that put the tweet out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. They didn't have a field goal blocked all year. There's another one.
Woo!
Woo!
Look at us.
Let's go.
Look at us. Just when you thought a 3-14 season had nothing positive in it, here come the New York Jets and their social media team. Woo! Woo!
They are something special, these New York Jets.
I mean, I cannot
believe. The
field
goal percentage of the kicker. These are all things that we should be celebrating on the 3-win season. That was an out-and-out disaster in every way, shape, and form.
It's like,
and as the rest of the NFL, practically, right? Half the NFL possibly has hopes of hiring John Harbaugh, bringing in a head coach with a Super Bowl championship with Mike McCarthy, Harbaugh. Stefanski's the talk of everybody's, all over the NFL. Not the Jets. They're bringing back the same crap. But
that's right.
Five offensive
linemen started every single game. And by the way, that has not been done since way back in 2023, which was like yesterday.
That's amazing.
Now, a couple other things to get to. I know this is not a college football town. I honestly don't care. Last night was awesome. Mm-hmm. Last night was a gift to those of us that are sports fans and had nothing else going on. Last night was every single thing you and I love about sports. I want to tell you something right now. Was that a pass interference in the end zone? Probably was. Should it have been called? No. I'm glad they didn't make that call right there on a Hail Mary pass. And the reason I say that is not that, and I'm going to be a little inconsistent on this because, yes, a penalty is a penalty. Should be called any time of game, blah, 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 right? But the reason I was glad they did not throw the flag in the end zone last night as Miami advances, of course, past Ole Miss, they get the winner of tonight's game, Indiana-Oregon, a week from Monday for the national championship, is that on the Ole Miss drive that gave them the lead with a minute whatever left to go, there was an egregious penalty called against Miami. And I do think if you want to have some type of equitable ending where the referees cannot be accused of favoring one team over the other or making huge calls in the clutch that extends a drive, which it did for Ole Miss with about 3-4 minutes to go that led to their touchdown drive, then I think the non-call against Miami kind of evened the score on that. Because without the bad call against Miami on the drive before for Ole Miss, they don't score that touchdown. It would have been 4th and 16. They're going to punt at that point, and maybe they never get the ball back. So you could yell and scream all you want. I understand why Ole Miss fans are pissed.
Sure.
If I was an Ole Miss fan, I would be livid, and I'd be yelling at the officials for not making that call. And I want to be clear. By the letter of the law, 100% that's pass interference. And I have another complaint about last night. Whoever that guy is working for ESPN, that's supposed to be like the ex-official that is supposed to give us commentary on officiating calls. Was it a good call? Was it a bad call? That's one of the worst dudes I've ever heard do it. He didn't disagree with a single call, even on the targeting call against Ole Miss that rightfully got overturned and the kid did not get kicked out of the game. That wasn't targeting.
Yeah.
And the dude in the booth is like, oh, clearly targeting, launched himself, you know, helmet-to-helmet contact, got to be kicked out of the game. And then they overturned it, and he goes, well, maybe it wasn't targeting. But did you watch the game last night?
Yeah, not all of it. I did fall asleep. I'm sorry. I'm getting used to the new schedule.
Dude, I get up at 5:30
I watched the replays of it. I did not watch the whole thing, no.
How could you not watch that? Like, at what point did you turn that game off?
Second half? I didn't turn it off. I dozed off.
Second half?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Wow.
But I did see the controversial play at the end.
But you didn't see it live.
I did not see it live.
So you didn't have the emotional aspect of watching that game.
I didn't have the emotional aspect of it anyway. But I can tell you this. Yes, I agree with you, like, tit for tat. But also, that call at the end of the game isn't egregious enough for me. I don't like giving help on Hail Marys at the end of the game.
I agree.
I agree. I know letter of the law. Was it a pass interference? Looking at it, I would have thrown
it. It was a 35-yard pass.
But I mean, that is a Hail Mary up for grabs, corner of the end zone. That's an incredibly difficult call play to make. And you're going to give it to him on, you know, two guys kind of hand fighting there. And it was pass interference. But I don't want to.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I don't want to give them anything on a final Hail Mary play, but, I mean, it was, and I do agree with you, you could go through that game, though, to be fair. You can go through any game and find calls on either side.
I just don't like
Hail Marys. You have to practically bring the guy down
if
you want
that.
Me to get a penalty on a final play.
Meanwhile, because that game ends, so Ole Miss's season ends, so I mean, for those of you that follow it, and this is going to become an issue maybe for the Jets and the Giants draft-wise, more the Jets, obviously, than the Giants. So Trinidad Chambliss, who's the new rock star quarterback for Ole Miss, who won a D2 championship prior to then transferring the portal to Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin. And I thought that kid played great. And that kid, whatever you might have thought about him, if you have not seen a lot of Ole Miss football games, that kid has, I think, made himself a first-round draft pick in this year's NFL draft. And I say that because the Jets now have options. Right, everyone's falling in love with the Oregon quarterback. You'll see him tonight, Dante Moore. So the thinking goes, obviously, Mendoza goes one to the Raiders. Now the Jets are on the clock. Do the Jets want to take, you know, that kid from Oregon, Dante Moore, who has not yet declared that he's coming out yet? Mm-hmm. Obviously, he'll do that after this game, and you got to figure he's coming out because he's going to be a top 3 or 4 pick no matter what.
Right.
So you don't say no to that opportunity. But now you have this Trinidad Chambliss kid, and I've seen a lot of Ole Miss football this year. And there's a lot to like about that kid because I'll tell you what, that kid in the clutch, trailing again. They were trailing the last game by 9 at halftime, trailing again against Miami in this game in the second half. That kid made play after play after play to bring them back. And I think Dante Moore's got a little competition on his hands now for who the number 2 quarterback is.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I'll be honest. This is great news for the Jets.
I think so, too.
And I was surprised. Like, I know we asked for it earlier, but... Like, I'm surprised, you just said it, he's going to be a top pick here. I'm surprised he wanted to request to stay. I know he probably did that earlier in the season. He's been, I think you can make the case, as of right now, the best of the tournament here.
I think
he's been the best quarterback in the last few weeks.
You asked for the extra year of eligibility because you want optionality.
Right.
Right? And look, a kid like that's going to make $4 or $5 million as a quarterback. Well,
that's the thing. He can go back. If he feels he's not ready, he could go back, still make $4 or $5 million. It's not like it used to be. If you had an opportunity to be a top pick, you had no choice. Now you can go back, make some money, feel like you're better off. And then even if you fall down the draft, you can end up with a better team and a better situation.
Absolutely right.
So I understand it, but there is no to me, watching these games, and I've been honest with you, and I've always been honest, I'm not the biggest college football fan. Not my thing. I haven't seen that much of Ole Miss. You might have. I haven't. I've seen the playoff games. I think he's the best quarterback going in these games. Now, that doesn't mean I think he's necessarily a better NFL prospect than Mendoza or anybody else.
I think he's a better athlete than Mendoza.
Yeah.
Mendoza's got look, Mendoza's a very good quarterback. I know that you have that former Giants scouter guy claiming to be a Giants scouter who said he grades out as a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, that's a bunch
of nonsense. Buy that.
Yeah.
But I think this is great for the Jets.
No doubt.
I think you now have a little competition.
And you're guaranteed.
What quarterback gets drafted.
And you're guaranteed the two, right?
Yes.
The more is still a chance. You don't know if he's going to come out. I think we all assume it, and I think it's a fair assumption. But now you're guaranteed that second quarterback in the draft. And for the Giants, and I know it isn't a Giants story necessarily, but three quarterbacks coming out that could, and we know how quarterbacks go to the top of the draft.
Yep.
The Giants picking fifth. That could open it up to the idea of them getting clearly the, at least the second best player in the draft.
Non-quarterback.
Yeah. Second best player
in the draft. By the way, it's good news for the Giants.
Or if other teams in front of them pass on a quarterback, now it opens them up what we were, a lot of us Giant fans are hoping for, the ability to trade back.
Right.
If he falls to the fifth pick, maybe there's a team that values him, willing to move up and make a that kind of trade that the Giant fan was looking for.
Yeah, I think, by the way,
I think that's a huge story.
I think it benefits the Jets more, obviously.
Of course, they need the quarterback.
But there is a benefit to the Giants.
Yeah. So,
like, if I'm a Giant fan, and this kid, Trinidad Chambliss, is now the toast of the town. If he does move up all the way to a top five pick, if I'm the Giants, give me more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first three to four picks are quarterbacks. That means I am getting, at worst, the second best non-quarterback in this draft.
Absolutely.
So this actually could turn out very well for the New York Giant fan. I'll just tell you one other thing from this game last night, because it was interesting to me. So there's a freshman on Miami, last name Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Tony reclassified to come out of high school earlier. He's a 17-year-old kid. So he's not eligible to come to the NFL for two more years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the best players on the Miami Hurricane team, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what's interesting. You have Carson Beck, the quarterback.
Sure.
All right, he's been there for 7 years or in college for 7 years. He's coming out. He's not a first-round draft pick in the NFL. But it was interesting because when Tony, the great wide receiver from Miami, was in elementary school when he was 11 years old, which is what, fourth grade, fifth grade, something like that, right?
Maybe, ballpark? Yeah, fifth, sixth.
Okay, so, but still, elementary school.
Yes.
All right, when Tony was in elementary school, Carson Beck was a freshman in college, and they played together last night in the semifinals.
Yeah.
And somewhere in North Carolina, Bill Belichick's jealous. He's like, I thought I was the only guy who picked dudes up in elementary school.
And Brady.
Yeah, Brady.
That competition Brady, between the two of them.
Yeah, when Alex Earl was 11 and in elementary school, Tom Brady had five Super Bowl rings. All right.
And now they ring in the new year.
We got lots cooking for you today. 888-808-1019. Later today, Big Mac's going to give you his picks on the NFL game. So we got that to look forward to. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 playoff games this weekend. So looking forward to that. We'll break some of those down later on. Lots of Jets, lots of Giants. Knickerbocker's back in action. And I guess at some point, we'll sit here and we'll cry about the fact that the Yankees still haven't signed anybody.
I've got some thoughts on it.
Do you?
I've got some thoughts on Cody Bellinger and his agent and what the hell is going on.
All right, we're
going
to tell them
later
on.
And how the Yankees should respond.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what?
You're mad.
I'm mad.
You're
and
mad.
You and I both, I think, you said it the other day. I think you and I are on the same page.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. Here's Ryan in California, New Jersey. Ryan, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Doing great.
What's up,
thanks.
Ryan?
I was calling in about Trinidad guy.
Yes. Go ahead. I can't do that. It's a very simple process. It's like when you talk to anybody else on the phone. Someone says hello, you start talking. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. Don't make this harder than it needs to be, right? By the way, did you see Lane Kiffin crying about how Ole Miss lost last night?
Yeah.
He was not crying because they lost.
No.
He was not crying because he feels bad for the kids that he recruited to Ole Miss. He lost $500,000 last night. That's all he cares about.
Yeah, right? He was still getting these contract bonuses.
I think the story was $500,000 each round that they won. So he got $500,000 for the first win.
Right.
And he would have made another $500,000 if they beat Miami last night. Right?
It's amazing how college works.
By
it's
way,
amazing what college
Miami
sports
should have won that game by 30 last night.
Yeah.
They dropped four interceptions.
Yeah.
Beck underthrew a couple guys wide open for touchdowns. So they got lucky to win it, but they should have won by 30.
Yeah, no, that one on the sideline, that's a pick six earlier in the game. I saw that one live. Could have been a pick six.
How did you just have curiosity?
Yeah, I listen.
It's a national semifinal.
I'm getting adjusted to the new schedule.
What's
I fell asleep.
What's the new schedule?
I'm
have
just
to get
my
up until noon now.
I'm usually what?
And what time do you get up in the morning?
I get up in the morning with the kids at like 6:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
You couldn't watch a national semifinal?
I did. I had every intention of watching it.
Doesn't someone else wake you up?
No.
Do you snore?
Everyone's sleeping.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah,
got
no,
it.
Everyone's sleeping. And I mean, the
you
kids,
you
the
live that weird old house where like the bedroom's nowhere near the TV room. So it's not like your wife would come down and go, hey, dummy, wake up. Second half. College football playoff.
I don't think she would do that.
No?
No, that's not
She'd
my
be
wife.
So happy you're getting She'd sleep.
She does not want to bother me. But yeah, no, listen, I'm sorry. I went back and watched it. I didn't watch it live.
Watching it the next day doesn't work for me.
It's not ideal.
How people do that.
It's not ideal. Tonight, like, I'll be more focused than on the game because the two quarterbacks, I know.
Oh, because Dante Moore right now is viewed as the number two quarterback. Yeah. And Mendoza is viewed as number one.
I want to see these two quarterbacks play. I really do. And now, listen, I do think Chambliss has thrown himself in the mix. The way he played against Georgia, the way he played last night. But these are the two quarterbacks everybody's talking about for the New York Jets. I'm interested in watching the game. I'll make sure I stay awake tonight.
All right, we got lots to do. 888-808-1019. It's the Carton Show with Big Matt. Craig Carton, great to have you here. Coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios. Powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Absolutely nobody.